We re-team with Microsoft for another contest.
We look at gaming on the iPod.
We're going to look at the Harman Kardon Drive Plus Play.
And the latest news and comments, MyMac Podcast 85.
The next generation of radio, it's the MyMac.com Podcast. Podcasting from the MyMac.com studios, it's your hosts, Tim Robertson and Chad Perry.
Welcome to all you new listeners. I saw that our contest announcement was posted on quite a few Mac websites out there today.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing. Yes. So, you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, we're going to have a new contest this week. The contest is it's a really cool one.
Yeah.
Not only are we giving away the brand new Microsoft, and this is for Mac only. This is a Mac-specific product, which, by the way, Chad, I happen to have it right here.
Ooh.
It is the Microsoft Wireless Laser Desktop for Mac. It's a mouse and keyboard wireless for your Mac.
Nice.
It looks pretty cool. I haven't opened it yet, as you can see. We're going to open it right here during the show in a little bit. We're going to give one of these away.
Yep.
We're also going to give away an Office 2004 copy.
That's amazing.
That's... You know what? The keyboard and mouse, $99.99. What is it? $399.95 for Office.
Yep.
This is great. $500 worth of Microsoft swag.
Yeah.
Right there. And let's be honest, I haven't used this mouse and keyboard, but just looking at the box, it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it's very cool aluminum finish on the mouse, so yeah. It'll match your Mac if you got a G5.
I think it's pretty cool looking. I'm looking forward to tearing this box open. You know, the thing is, when I open up these products, I'm always careful not to rip the box. I don't know why. I never use the box again, but I'm always careful.
Oh, I know. I'm the same way. And then the sad thing about me is that I actually keep
the box. I do, too. In fact, Donnie Yankolo sends me an email a couple weeks back. And Donnie Yankolo is still fairly new at MyMac. He hasn't even been here a year yet, I don't believe. And he's been doing quite a few product reviews as of late. He sends me an email, and he says, "How long am I supposed to hold on to the shipping and the boxes for these products?" Well, if you have to send it back, hold on to them until you have to send it back. And if you don't have to send it back, just get rid of them. One of the things that we do at MyMac.com, obviously, is a lot of product reviews. And we tell people, if it's a hardware, obviously, if it's a software product, you don't send that back.
You can't.
Technically, you're supposed to delete it off your hard drive, but, you know, that probably doesn't happen very often. I know I never deleted Office 2004 after Microsoft sent it for review. I kept that. I'm going to use this. And I do. I use it all the time. But if it's hardware, you send that back to the company.
Right.
But a lot of companies, it's really cost prohibitive for them to have it sent back. I mean, if it's a $30 iPod case, well, it probably costs $7-$8 to ship it to us. We don't pay return shipping on items. That's
right.
I mean, that just goes without saying. And they're going to spend another $7 to $10 to have it shipped back? I don't think so. So they just go, you can, you know, keep it.
Right.
So Donnie's getting a big stack of boxes. What do I do with all these boxes, Tim? We've been requesting feedback. We've actually got some two telephone conversations we'll play from our listener feedback line.
Cool.
I guess it's not conversations. It's a one-sided conversation with that person.
Yeah.
You remember I kind of called out Rick Stringer personally.
Oh, yeah.
And so he sent some feedback in. Let's play that before we go to the news.
Hi, Tim and Chad. This is Rick Stringer. Okay, Tim. You threw down the challenge of my Mac number 84. You singled me out to send in my opinion. First of all, I want to thank you for rubbing salt into my wounds. You pointed out to dozens of listeners that I didn't win the contest. Thank you so much for that. Seriously, I do appreciate that you guys keep having these contests, and I really appreciate that you keep pimping my podcast variant frequencies, although I hope that you mentioning us on your podcast doesn't get us shut down like some sites out there.
Yeah, we just want to make sure that Sweden doesn't shut down variant frequencies podcast.
Yeah.
They're not pirates.
Or the state of Michigan for that.
That's right, yeah. They're not pirates. They have nothing to do with piracy, so don't confiscate their servers.
Oh, and by the way, Pirate Bay is back up and running somewhere.
Somewhere. Not here.
Now, downloading music. I feel that the music and film industry is missing the boat on downloading. Instead of making it harder to download and share music or videos, they should be making it easier. Downloading music or video should be the same as if I purchase a CD. I can take that CD and put the music on as many of my computers as I want. I, on the other hand, should not be giving out that music or videos to all of my friends. They really should go out and purchase their own. I don't think it makes a difference if I'm giving it to 1 or 1,000 friends. I really should not be giving it out to them. I don't like the way that the industry is looking at everyone like we are thieves, that we just want to steal their products. Artists absolutely should be paid for their work. But the average person at home is not the problem. The real problem is all those counterfeiters in places like China and others. They are the real pirates. I find software protection to be a huge pain, too. I have to maintain over 40 Macs. Keeping track of all those serial numbers and activation codes can be a headache. I so much appreciate when companies make that process easier. I understand them wanting to protect themselves, but many of them just go overboard.
And I can agree with him there. You know, back, oh geez, this is going back probably maybe 9 years, maybe longer. But at one time, I was creating a database solution for a local public school system. Yep. And I was also working with their media department, and they created these books that you had to put together. And what they used was Quark Express. And they simply wanted a new copy of Quark Express to put on a second Mac. Obviously, I could have gone to the store and just bought another copy for them, and they would have been happy. But because they're an education institute, they get a discount. So I called up Quark Express, or Quark, the company, I should say, and say, you know, this is a school, here's their school ID number, they've already got an account with you guys, you know who they are, they've registered their products, they simply want another copy of Quark Express. Quark, the company, wanted us to fill out a 3-page affidavit just to buy a copy of their program.
Wow.
It's unbelievable. And if you're a software developer and you're listening to this, I understand, and Rick even understands. I mean, he's got to deal with 40 Macs and keeping serial numbers for each one straight. That's not an easy matter. I've had to do that myself. I was an IT manager. If your serial number is 17 digits long, and it's a combination of letters and numbers, and it's case-sensitive, stop and think a little bit. No one appreciates that.
Right.
We're not saying make it so easy. Don't make your serial numbers 1, 2, 3, 4. You know, that's going to get cracked and broken real quick. But most people are honest that are buying your software, and they're not going to share it with anybody. Don't make it so frickin' long that you can't keep track of it. If you don't get it electronic, you have to sit there and painstakingly type it out.
That
gets really tiring, and if you screw up one digit, you have to start all over. And you're like, oh, I entered it 4 times. It's not working. Have you gone through that? I have.
Oh, yeah.
And it's crazy.
Yeah.
If you get it electronically, they usually email the serial number to you, and you can just
copy and paste
or license key, and copy and paste, and you're good to go.
Speaking of software, I understand Adobe killing Freehand and Go Live. I've used Freehand, Go Live, Illustrator, and Dreamweaver since the first versions of those programs. I'm not so certain about your comment that Freehand was out there before Illustrator. If it was, it wasn't by much.
And I want to stop Rick right there. On the last podcast, number 84, I mentioned that Freehand came out before Illustrator. And Rick is right. It did not. Freehand came out after Illustrator. Illustrator 1.0 was released by Adobe in January of 87, while Aldus Freehand was released in 1988. So Illustrator was first. I don't know if it was a full year, but January 87, I would imagine.
Pretty close.
Yeah. It's got to be at least a year. As an interesting aside, Aldus was actually merged with Adobe in 1994, but the merger did not include the Freehand application. The FTC had a problem with Adobe owning both vector programs, Freehand and Illustrator. So as part of the merger, Aldus sold off Freehand to Macromedia. Aldus created Freehand versions 1 through 4, while versions 5 through MX, or 11, was created and done by Macromedia. So the application was called both Aldus Freehand and Macromedia Freehand. If you jump ahead to 2006, we see that Adobe is acquiring Macromedia, and in a roundabout way, Freehand comes back home, only to be killed off again.
Poor Freehand.
Poor Freehand.
What Freehand originally had over Illustrator was the ability to work in a preview mode right from the beginning. Early versions of Illustrator forced you to work in outline mode, and then switch to preview to see what it would look like. That was a big pain. Fortunately, they changed that one. Another thing that Freehand had and still has over Illustrator is the way it creates multiple pages. The problem that I always had with Freehand was that I found it to be less stable than Illustrator, particularly when it came to printing. We finally made the total switch to Illustrator a few years ago and never looked back. I really don't miss Freehand. Dreamweaver and GoLive. If Dreamweaver were not available, I'd use GoLive. GoLive is good. I just like Dreamweaver better. I think it makes cleaner and simpler HTML code. GoLive does some pretty crazy stuff with code that can make it a little difficult to work with at times. I also like the way that Dreamweaver works with BBEdit. It gives you the best of both worlds when it comes to WYSIWYG editing and coding. Well, that's about it. I really do love your podcast, guys. And thanks again for everything that you've done for Variant Frequencies. By the way, we could use some more comments on our site, too. Thanks, guys. Talk to you again soon.
And thank you, Rick, for the comments. We appreciate it. You know, I'm not a big Dreamweaver fan. I think I've used it a few times, but it's been a long time since I used it, and I haven't used any of the recent versions.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably going to change when Adobe CS3 rolls around, yeah. And I get a review copy, and I have to install it, and I have to learn it. But, you know, I read the... basically, Adobe's saying that they're going to give the Freehand Dreamweaver application more of an Adobe front end, so it's going to look like the rest of the Adobe applications.
Yeah.
That will probably help me a lot because that's what I'm used to using, is not just Go Live, but Illustrator, mm-hmm. Photoshop. Those are programs I've been using for a long time, and really, when you look at the interface of Photoshop, it really hasn't changed a whole lot, even from the very beginning. Many of the toolbars are the same, and it looks very similar.
Yeah.
My problem with Dreamweaver, when I tried it, it felt clunky to me because intuitively where I thought something should be, it wasn't there. And I found that true in a lot of cases with Macromedia products in the past, that just it wasn't where it was supposed to be, and I thought, oh, why isn't it? It should be over here, and it's not, and it should be, and I'm just hard-headed sometimes.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break here, and we're going to get to our news, and then we're going to get to our contacts.
Email, this is Apple Airport Express. You're cleared for wireless takeoff from the living room. Internet, this is Apple Airport Express. You're cleared for landing in the kitchen. iTunes, this is Apple Airport Express. You're coming in nice and easy on our wireless runway.
Apple Airport Express from Small Dog Electronics. Wireless networking anywhere you are. Browse, email, print, even listen to music. Wireless. Go wireless now with a 12-inch iBook, Airport Express, and carry case for $11.49. Small Dog Electronics in Waitsfield and on the web at smalldog.com. Small Dog is wireless.
MyMac.com has been reviewing and using accessories and drives from WeebyTech ever since the company came into existence a few years ago. Weeby has just released 6 new drive docks. D-O-C-K. Drive docks. What these are pieces of metal with ports in them that you connect to a bare hard drive. This is totally for techies, not for ordinary mortals, but for people who understand the benefits, the pleasures, and the perils of working with an exposed hard drive. Weeby has been releasing these items, for several years. They were one of the first products that they released. But the 6 new drives that they released are the Combo Dock, the Mini USB Dock, the Mini SATA Dock, the FireWire Drive Dock Plus, the Notebook Drive Dock Plus, and the Super Drive Dock Plus. Each of these does exactly the same thing in a slightly different way. Let's pretend that you had the hard drive that was inside your computer in your hand, and you needed to access that data. You would plug one of these drive docks, attach it to your bare drive. Don't worry, you won't get blown up or electrocuted or get caught on fire or explode. and then you would attach it either to the USB or the FireWire port of your computer, and it gives you access to your drive. That's all that's happening inside your computer anyway. And this is really a sneak peek review, because Weeby has been generous enough to send MyMac.com all six of these units. And this week, in reviews you can use that won't make you snooze, we are merely mentioning these six products because Weeby has also generously sent us a little notebook drive that will fit into the Notebook Drive Dock Plus, and also a SATA drive, serial ATA drive, as opposed to a standard ATA or IDE drive. Have you fallen asleep yet? Anyway, if you're still awake, go to weebytech.com, click on Drive Docks over on the left side, read about these six new products, and then get ready for our written review, which will be coming out later in the summer. Thank you very much for listening to the MyMac.com podcast, and we hope you didn't fall asleep too quickly listening to this review you can use that won't make you snooze, featuring the Drive Docks from WeebyTech.com. Don't worry, the link will be in the show notes. Talk to you soon. John Nemo, signing off.
And thanks again, Nemo, for another news you can use that won't make you snooze.
We love your contributions, John. Time for some Mac news, and a lot of this is coming from MacMinute.com. Some of it is coming from the unofficial Apple weblog, and just all over the web.
Yep.
The first one is the Reg Hardware site got to play with the next generation Core 2 Duo chip from Intel. Horrible name. Core 2 Duo.
Yeah.
Aye. Why not just Core Duo 2?
I like that better.
I do too.
Yep.
Previously codenamed Conroe. This is the chip many seem to think will be at the heart of the PowerMac G5 replacement, what some are calling the Mac Pro.
Early reports showed the Core 2 Duo is a monster of a chip and at the very high end for desktop computers. Intel also announced that these chips will begin shipping to vendors in either late June or July. For those at home keeping track, this probably means we will see the first announcement of the Mac Pro at the Worldwide Development Conference in August.
New enclosures, Blu-ray support is also being bandied about as possible next-generation additions to the Mac Pro line. You know, Apple's come out and said that they're going to go with Blu-ray, the Sony camp. They're not going with HD DVD, so
yeah.
I expect that the next Pro lap or Pro desktops are going to have that support built in.
Yep.
We are interested in hearing what you guys think about the Mac Pro line. What do you think it will be called? I mean, the consensus seems to be Mac Pro. That's going to be maybe Mac Desktop. I don't know. But what do you guys think? Great name for a Mac Desktop, the replacement to the G5. You know, so if you guys got an idea, send it in or call our phone number and leave a message, and we'll play it on the next show. The number is, Chad,
801-938-5559.
The unofficial Apple weblog posted a link to a cool automator action titled Widget Killer. This is a simple automator action which, when run, simply turns off the widgets and dashboard. Why is this great? Because for those of you with little RAM or a slow processor, you know just how much CPU cycles can get eaten up by dashboard. I will post a link directly to the downloaded file on Apple site on show notes number 85.
Next one, iTunes guilty of breaking Norwegian laws. This is from June 7th. A report in the Register today notes that the Norwegian Consumer Ombudsman has ruled that iTunes is breaking Norwegian law with its policies and practices and has given the company 2 weeks to respond. According to the ruling, iTunes breaks Section 9A of the Norwegian Marketing Control Act, notes the story. The regulator said it was not reasonable that the consumer must sign up to a contract regulated by English law rather than Norwegian law. It also said iTunes must accept responsibility for damage its software may do and said it is unreasonable to alter terms and conditions after a song has been sold.
And that's something that I am actually for. In the terms of, what was that noise? Oh, that was your email program, wasn't it? I guess we ought to probably quit it while we're recording the podcast. You get the terms of use, and you agree to them.
Mm-hmm.
And the terms of use basically say, and by the way, we can change these terms anytime we want. Even after you've bought something, they can turn around and change it? That doesn't sound right to me. I've always thought that was kind of hinky.
Yeah, it's kind of like playing a sports, you know, starting the game under one set of rules, but not being able to complete it under the same one.
Right. Oh, that's not a touchdown because no one on your team has a yellow helmet during this play. You know?
Yeah.
Like, what? Well, you agree to it when we started playing that we could change the rules. And
yeah.
I don't know.
I agree.
Apple files second copyright lawsuit against Creative. This is from June 6th at MacMinute.com. Go ahead.
Apple has filed a second copyright lawsuit and a trade complaint in the Creative Technology, reports Channel News Asia. Apple claims Creative is infringing on three patents relating to using icons and displaying and editing data. The report notes that the company is seeking cash damages and a court order to stop Creative from further breaches. In addition, Apple wants the International Trade Commission in Washington to block imports of Creative music players and the Sansaw pencil case.
Yeah. This is... Wow. You know, they went after Apple first. Apple was leaving them alone. They messed with Apple now. Apple is just bringing the heavy heat onto Creative.
Good golly.
I mean, yeah. Well, they brought it on first. What are you going to say?
Yep.
June 6th, Apple introduces the new U2 iPod. Apple today introduced the new U2 Special Edition iPod as part of a continued partnership between Apple, U2, and Universal Music Group. The new U2 iPod is based on the 5th generation 30-gig iPod and holds up to 7,500 songs, 25,000 photos, or 75 hours of video, and features a distinctive all-black stainless steel enclosure, red click wheel, and custom engraving of U2 band member signatures. U2 iPod customers will also receive 30 minutes of exclusive U2 video downloadable from the iTunes Music Store. The new U2 iPod. That just sounds weird. Is available immediately for $329. The new iPod includes earbud headphones, USB 2.0 cable, and a case and dock insert. Woohoo! So basically they just took the new iPod and put a red... I'm sorry, I personally think that red click wheel on the U2 iPod looks ugly.
Yeah.
I like U2 as a band. I like their music, but it's just ugly. You know, I've got a 5th generation black iPod. It's cool looking.
Yeah.
If you put this great big Target red click wheel right in the middle of it, bleh. Bleh. Bleh.
But don't you think some people like it? Like, maybe Bill Palmer?
Yeah, Bill Palmer does. Because he bought one.
He did?
Yes. You didn't know that?
No.
Yeah, he bought... I just went up to his site and he bought one.
I don't believe it.
Shit. Are you kidding?
June 6th, report Apple pushing Intel in new directions.
A senior executive at Intel yesterday said that Apple is pushing the company in new directions, reports Computer World Australia. They push us to think about things that we may not always think about, said Anand Chandraskar, Senior Vice President and General Manager of Intel's Sales and Marketing Group. We were hoping for that to happen, and that certainly happened. The story notes that Chandraskar declined to give specific examples of how Apple had influenced the roadmap. One area of importance to Apple is heat dissipation. Intel's ability to deliver mobile chips that consume less power while offering better performance was one of the reasons that convinced Apple to make the switch from IBM's rival PowerPC chips.
So Apple's saying to Intel, this is what's important to us, and Intel's going, okie dokie, we'll get right on that.
Yeah.
It's kind of what it sounds like to me. Apple offers students free iPod Nano with Mac purchase from June 5th. Apple has launched a promotion whereby it is offering a free iPod Nano with the purchase of a Macintosh system via a mail-in rebate. When you buy a Mac by September 16th, 2006, you can get a free iPod Nano after a mail-in rebate, notes Apple's site. Or choose another iPod and enjoy big savings after mail-in rebate. Plus, use your education discount to save even more. You must be a qualified Apple education individual and user purchaser to take advantage of this promotion. So that's pretty cool.
That's a nice deal.
Yeah, free iPod.
Yeah.
Mail-in rebate. I hate mail-in rebates.
Yeah, but you know what? We use them all the time. My wife's a big fan of mail-in rebates. She'll follow up on all of them.
Yeah, see, for instance, I'm not. Just as an example, I'm not. I've still got the $50 mail-in rebate. I keep forgetting about it. And in fact, I forgot about it for a long time until I read that for my cell phone. I'm supposed to get $50 back for that. It's probably expired now or something.
Yeah.
You know, you could only mail it in between 4 and 6 p.m. on
February 29th,
and it must be postmarked in Nebraska. Mm. Otherwise, you know.
It's invalid. Yeah,
I hate mail-in rebates. I really do. I think most people do. I don't think your wife enjoys them. I just think she's religious about it because it's money.
Right.
You know, and that's smart. That is the case. Yeah. But I hate them. Just give me the savings right now, okay?
If you're a Mac user and you need a hosting service for your website, why would you want to host your site on anything else but a Macintosh? Innotek has been hosting the MyMac.com website for over 7 years, and we wouldn't have it any other way. Are they the cheapest web hosting company in the world? No. Do they offer the largest amount of server space of bandwidth in the world? Of course not. But with Innotek, you don't get pie-in-the-sky false promises, just the best customer service, the most popular hosting service plans, and everything running on the latest Apple Macintosh server gear. Check them out at www.innotek.com/mymac for special pricing. That's www.inno-tech.com/mymac. Innotek, the trusted web server of mymac.com for over 7 years. That's like 49 dog years.
And thank you for Innotek sponsoring our podcast. Speaking of sponsors, we have Ramjet.com as a sponsor as well.
Mm-hmm.
And unlike Smalldog and Innotek, we actually talk about their products for a little bit on the show.
Yep.
Did you know they got a sale going on right now on DDR 400 Max or 400 RAM?
Yeah, I was looking at that. They've got the 512 1 gig and the 2 gig kit.
Now, these are for the G5 type of Macintosh. So if you've got a newer one, this isn't you.
Yep.
So if you've got, you know, there's nothing wrong with an iMac G5. A lot of people are like, oh, it's all the Intel stuff now. Well, there's nothing an Intel Mac can do that your Mac cannot do.
That's right.
So if you've got a good running iMac G5, there's no reason to really upgrade yet.
Mm-hmm.
At least don't upgrade the machine.
Yeah.
You can just upgrade your RAM. You can get a 2 gigabyte chip right now, or 2 gigabyte upgrade for $199.
Yep.
That is awesome.
It's a good deal.
That is a really, really good deal.
And if you don't feel like parting with that much dough, you can get the 1 gig DIMM for $99.
You know, I've talked about, excuse me, in the past that if you're putting a lot of stuff on your Mac, oh, I don't know, pictures, music, that sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
starts taking up a lot of space, right?
That's right.
What if you don't have a burnable DVD drive in your computer so you can't burn DVDs? Are you going to make backups to CDs of all that stuff?
Oof.
I mean, that's going to be just painful.
Mm-hmm.
How about an external FireWire hard drive?
You can get those at Ramjet?
You can get those at Ramjet. Right now, they've got a 400 gigabyte drive for $399. There isn't a Macintosh out there that ships with a drive that big.
That's right, and that's less than a buck a gig.
And you can literally back up your entire hard drive to this a couple times. So it's real important that you guys, if you don't already have a backup solution, get a FireWire external hard drive connected to your Mac, and there's just a ton of backup programs out there.
Mm-hmm.
Ramjet has really good prices, really good prices on FireWire drives right now, as well as the USB flash jet drives, or jet flash drives.
Yep, jet flash drives, they start at $47 for 512 meg.
Goes all the way up to 4 gigabytes for $357. Four gigabytes in a little bitty keychain thing.
That's See, and amazing. I remember 3 years ago I paid $30 for my 64 megabyte flash
drive. Was it 64 or 16? 64?
64.
Wow, that's just puny.
Yep.
Okay, Chad, it's contest time.
It is.
It's time for the contest.
And what are we giving away?
We're giving away a copy of Microsoft Office 2004. Where's that box at?
Here.
Oh, there it is.
And
we're going to give away this cool-looking thing here, Microsoft Wireless Laser Desktop for Mac.
And as we discussed earlier, that's like a $500 value in software and hardware.
Let's just kind of go over the box a little bit before we go into any more details. And we're going to actually open this box up live right here on the podcast.
Ooh.
Ooh. So what's it say in the back here? It says, Comfort Curve Designed Keyboard. Place your hands naturally and work comfortably using the distinctive and ergonomist approved Comfort Curve design.
Now, what you also get is you get a My Favorites hotkeys. There are 5 hotkeys. They let you customize and instantly bring up the photos, folders, files, and web pages you use the most.
Simply push and hold to set, just like a car radio. It also has some media center keys, control your media activities with the touch of a button. So it's got a pause and a play, a stop, a backwards and a forwards button.
You've also got the volume controls that are standard on the Mac, the up, down, and the mute.
It's got a eject key, which is, you know, PC users aren't used to having an eject key.
But it's a must for every Mac user.
Well, there's no button on a lot of the Macs to open the CD drive. Mm-hmm. You have to have an eject key. This looks pretty cool, I think. It's got this thing called a zoom slider. Zoom in for a closer look at digital pictures, maps, and more. That's kind of neat looking. Yeah. I kind of want to see how that works.
And you've also got quick hotkeys that are customizable, and that allows you to go right to your email, iChat, music, photos.
And this isn't a warmed over PC keyboard. This is a keyboard and mouse designed for the Mac. It's got 1,000 DPI laser in it.
For the mouse.
For the mouse.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, this is wireless, so if you want less clutter on your desktop, here you go. It's $99.95. But, of course, somebody listening right now is going to get this for free. You're not getting the one that we're opening, by the way.
No, we're not going to send you that one. Microsoft's going to send you one for you.
Chad's actually keeping this one.
Because I'm going to be doing a review.
So let's break this puppy open. Where are you going, Chad? Are you going to open the window since it stopped raining? Yeah. See, it started raining earlier, and it got really loud in here. And that's not good for when you're recording a show. Oi, this is a tight box.
Merry Christmas, Timmy.
He just took away the inside. See, I'm stuck with the external box with nothing in it now. And Chad just, like, snagged it out of my hand and is ripping it apart like it's December 25th in the morning. Ooh. Oh, and he drops the mouse, ladies and gentlemen.
Mouse. There you go, baby.
Once again, we're not giving this one away. We're giving... Oh, you know what? A lot of the scroll wheels on these mice, when you do it, you hear that click, click, click noise. This is just smooth. It doesn't make that clicking sound.
Hold it up.
That's just my finger hitting the button. Yep. But if right now I'm pushing it, no sound. Now, this is very ergonomic.
Ergonomic.
It's got a nice place for your thumb. Very comfortable. It's got a scroll wheel. It's got a right button. I think that the scroll wheel itself is a button because that pushes down. Mm-hmm. And it's got a left button. And it's also got 2 buttons right above the mouse or right above your thumb.
Yep.
Which is probably, you can assign that to something. And it's got a little thing for batteries. It takes, looks like 2 AA batteries. So that's nice. You know, I hate it when you have to buy a certain type of battery.
And they actually give you the batteries you need.
And you know what? They're not the cheap ones either. They're Energizer.
Yep,
a lot of times you get the DuraPower, which is like, what the hell is a DuraPower?
Yep.
So this is nice.
So you get 4 Energizer batteries, 2 for the wireless mouse, and 2 for the receiving station.
No, not the 2 would probably be for the keyboard.
Oh, you think so? Oh, you're
well,
right.
Sure.
Sorry.
How's that also going to run? Because the receiving station itself, well, let's get into that before we look at the keyboard.
Okay.
The receiving station is kind of a mouse-looking device itself. Hard plastic, USB cable at the end, and it says install software first. Did you notice this? That's nice. Mm-hmm. Right over the USB plug, it says right on there, a little piece of paper stapled over it, install software first. That's nice. So some idiot just doesn't plug it in and go, it's not working, and takes it back. It does come with a CD. Let's see what's the CD. IntelliType Pro 6.0 for Mac. So you're going to have to install that, Chad.
Yep.
The cord itself for the wireless receiver looks pretty long. I would say, I don't know, maybe 10 feet long. I haven't opened it up all the way. So this, obviously, you would put somewhere close to your Mac.
Yep.
It's, I don't know what, is it, it doesn't say. I'm interested in, is it RF, or is it, what's the technology it's using to communicate wirelessly? In other words, does it have to be line of sight? And I would probably say not, because I don't see an RF pickup anywhere on here, so it's, I'm not sure. Yeah, we'll figure that out later.
Yep.
It does have a button on the transceiver itself. And what that does, and I'm guessing, I haven't looked at the manual, but for the most part, when you see these, a lot of times, the mouse and the keyboard will stop communicating with it. You have to push this button, it'll reset it. I see that all the time. It's very common. So we'll move that out of the way. I really like the mouse. The mouse is very comfortable. let's see. You want to put the batteries in now?
Yeah, I'm curious about one of these keys.
All right. There's two batteries for you. I'll put the batteries in the mouse itself. This is a nice mouse. I like a mouse. We at least get to see it light up a little bit. And Chad's got the batteries now in the keyboard. Are you trying to see if they do anything?
Yeah.
This one isn't doing anything.
Well, we probably don't have the software installed yet. Or that's the receiver. True. So.
Well, no, I didn't mean it's doing... I don't see a laser coming out of the bottom. It's got a little connect button on it. I don't know. It might be a good idea to actually read the manual before we try to start using this.
Yeah, but
I wasn't really interested in using it. I just want to check it out. Can I see the keyboard, please?
You can see the keyboard.
It's it's lighter than I thought it would be. Mm-hmm. It does have little stands on the back of it, so you can raise the back of the keyboard up.
It is an RF.
It is RF?
Yep.
Oh, this
little hand rest is nice.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
This might be really good for you as you're... Oh, look at this little zoom thing that we're talking about, looking at. It just goes up and down.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty neat. It's got a lot of buttons on here. Oh, look, it's got a button that says calculator.
Sweet.
That's kind of neat. It's got a log off button. So that'd be kind of nice, because, for instance, you have a multi-user system. Your wife has an account, and you have an account.
Yep.
So when you're done, you just have to click that button, log off. It's right above the number keys on the right-hand side. There's also one that's sleep. Is this a... Okay, we have the search, and then we have a key right next to the help button.
Is that a spotlight key?
Yeah, I think that's probably going to bring up spotlight. That is pretty neat. Now, they did redesign a little bit. If you look where the delete key is, you have the regular delete key up here at the top of this, but there's also one to the right next to the page up and page down.
Yep.
That's kind of neat. I like that. Full function keyboard. It's got F1 to F12. It looks great.
I don't know what that one does.
I don't know. It's got that little star. I don't know.
Does keyboard light up?
I don't know. I don't think it does. The keys are kind of translucent, but it doesn't say it lights up, and I would imagine if it did...
It would post it.
Yeah, it would say something right off the bat that, this lights up.
Mm-hmm.
But so I don't think it does, but I kind of like this keyboard. It would take me a little while to get used to, simply for the fact that I'm used to a straight keyboard. And I've tried these curved keyboards in the past, and I got used to them, but I'm just not as used to them as... I'm just so fuddy-duddy, it's hard for me to break a habit.
Yeah.
Did you notice on the keys, as the keys curve, the G, H, N, B key are a little longer.
Yeah,
than
the home keys
ones.
Are a little bit larger than the regular ones.
I think that's probably going to be helpful in that it is a curved keyboard, so it's easier to find your place quickly that way.
Yeah.
I kind of like that idea. So this is really cool looking. I like it. Have fun with it, Chad.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to have to. By the next podcast, let's see if we can have this up and running, and we'll use this during the next podcast. And we announce who the winner is. So this mouse, this keyboard is up for grabs, not this particular one, because you're going to have to pry it off of Chad's cold, dead fingers first. he's giving it the look like, this is pretty cool.
And also a copy of Office 2004.
And I don't want to understate that. Office 2004 for the Macintosh, free to the winner. So the winner's not going to get just a keyboard and a mouse. And by the way, this is brand new. This isn't something that's been out for a long time. Microsoft just released this keyboard and mouse. I doubt if you'll even find it in the store yet.
Yeah.
I mean, it's brand new. I really like the scroll wheel. It's very smooth.
Mm.
I've got a Logitech mouse that I've been using for 6-7 years that I'm very used to. Mm-hmm. And when I roll the mouse button, it goes...
Yeah, and mine is the same.
Yeah. This one's very smooth. I like it. And it's the same kind of... Well, it's a rubbery plastic, but it looks kind of like the keys on the keyboard, too.
Yep.
So, I'm very impressed. The keyboard, if you don't win it and you want to buy one, is $99.95. I'm sure you can pick it up at almost any Mac outlet. I'm sure the Apple Store will probably carry these in stock.
Mm-hmm.
Even better, I don't know if it's better, but for the contest anyways, even better, you don't get just the Mac mouse and keyboard. You also get, for the Macintosh, Office 2004.
And how do they do that, Jim?
First, you bring up your email program. Second, you start a new message. 3rd, you type in at the 2,
contest@mymac.com.
Tab down to the subject line and put in Microsoft. In the subject. Well, that was a subject, right?
Yeah, that was a subject. Okay, and in the body, you give us your name, address, and phone number.
Name, address, and phone number. And you can win
the Microsoft keyboard and mouse, the wireless laser desktop for the Mac, and the and a copy of Office 2004.
Wireless laser desktop Mac.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Remember when laser meant something really cool when you were a kid?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you wanted a laser gun. Just to sound laser sounded futuristic. Now it's used all over the place. Laser this, laser that. It's no big deal.
Yeah, but you're always thinking that you'd have a laser gun that would cut through metal or something.
That's right.
You know?
We should try a hack a day. Take the Microsoft's wireless laser desktop for Mac. Just the mouse part. Let's see if we can boost the signal and cut through the top of your desktop with it. No?
No.
No. And don't point the lasers at your eyes, ladies and gentlemen. That would
hurt. It'll hurt.
I've heard a lot of good things about the new laser mouses, not just this one, but in general, that they're very accurate on screen. I mean, you get really fine control. So, you know, it's a cool contest.
Yeah.
Absolutely free to you guys. All you have to do is send in an email to contest@mymac.com, Microsoft in the subject, the body of the message, name, address, and phone number. And why do we want the phone number?
We want the phone number so we can call you up and let you know, because we want to hear your excitement, because we love giving things away to our listeners.
And we're also looking for single Mac users, men and women, and we can hook them up and send each other their phone numbers. And
No, this is not eHarmony.
No. So now we've got stuff all over the place here. Let's talk about something a little different today. I've been reviewing for the past, how long have I had it in the car?
About
3 weeks now. The Harman Kardon Drive Plus Play. I let Chad see it when I first put it in, because it's really hard to explain without seeing it.
Yeah.
Basically, it's three parts, including cables. You have the control module, which is what everything runs to. Okay. What the Drive and Play does was allow you to use your iPod and control it without even touching your iPod. Now, this isn't some wireless doohickey that you plug into your dock and you have to aim it right at it. I mean, that's kind of defeating the purpose of hands-free, you know.
Yeah.
there's a control knob that, personally, I put down by my gear shift. And the control knob rotates to the left and to the right, and that kind of skips forward and skips back on your iPod. There's also four buttons. The top button is kind of like the menu button on your iPod. Mm-hmm. There's a next and repeat, and then there's a pause and a play button.
And basically, it looks like a light-up mushroom with four buttons on it.
Yeah, but you know what? That really doesn't do it justice, because it's really cool looking.
It is.
We're going to do a video review of it. So far, I like it, but there are some kind of problems with it. When iTunes 4.9 was released, they put in the whole podcasting thing.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, to be honest, most people that are listening to the show are downloading it through iTunes. So when you download a podcast, it goes into the iTunes directory, into the podcast directory in iTunes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that directory doesn't show up using the car or the
Harman Kardon.
Yeah, Drive Plus Play. Yeah. It doesn't show up. I don't know why. The only thing I could think of is it was designed pre-iTunes 4.9, and it doesn't recognize that directory.
Yeah.
So one of the big pain in the butts for me is I have to create a totally different playlist and put my podcast there. So, you know, like if you're on your iPod and you've got, you know, four or five different podcasts you listen to, you scroll down to that podcast name and then it goes to the right and then you pick the podcast you want to listen to. Well, you can't do that using this system.
Yeah, you got
to
put them in a playlist.
Yeah, so I don't really like that. On the other hand, the little control knobby thing is so intuitive that I literally do not have to take my eyes off the road to switch tracks.
Mm-hmm.
You push down in the middle of it, it brings back you to the main menu. But what's weird is if you're listening to a podcast or something like that, you're listening to a song, on the iPod, if you push the center button, it just takes you back one screen, right?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't always do that on the Drive Plus Play. Sometimes it'll take you back to the, I don't know, the playlist you happen to be in, or sometimes it'll take you back to the very main menu. And there's no rhyme or reason how it decides what it's going to do. So that's kind of a problem.
And we still haven't talked about my favorite component in this whole setup.
Right. On my dash is a little LED display.
It's probably about, what, 2.5 inches diagonal?
Yeah, it's pretty small. And next to the iPod's display, it's anemic. I mean, it doesn't give you half of what you can. It's only black and white, too.
Right.
But it gives me quick access to what I'm listening to. It lets me quickly scroll through a playlist or a bunch of playlists or whatever to get to exactly what I want.
And you can place it anywhere on your dashboard that's convenient for you to see it, so you don't have to take your eyes off the road when you're changing a song or trying to find a song.
Right, and that's important because, number one, I don't have to take my eyes off the road to control the iPod because my right hand, right next to the gear shift, is already doing that. My eyes are just, you know, it's just a barely any movement of my eyes to see what track I'm on and to follow along what my hands are doing. And I'm not, my eyes are still on the road, so that's great. Mm-hmm. And we've used it in both bright light and nighttime driving, and it works great for both.
Mm-hmm.
You could turn off the backlighting, and it's really neat. I like the system. It costs $199. We're going to get into this a whole lot more with our video review, probably within the next week or two.
Yep.
Chad will grab a camera, and you'll see me sitting in the car, and I'll kind of go over it a little bit more. Right now, it's actually ripped apart.
Mm.
One of the problems that I have is I wanted to show my brother-in-law a video on my iPod. Well, when you plug it into the Drive Plus Play, it completely disables the iPod screen.
Mm.
So I can't play videos on it.
Right.
So I couldn't use the dock connector. I had to plug directly into the radio.
Mm-hmm.
The only way I can do that is to rip the control module out and get my volume out control and plug it into the iPod.
Ooh.
Yeah, so it really wasn't the easiest solution or the best solution, but it worked, and so there you go.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it does take away a lot of distractions with the iPod, and I think that's a good thing. You can also buy a wireless FM transmitter with it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have a way to directly plug your iPod or the Drive Plus Play directly into your car stereo, it will broadcast it over an FM transmitter as well. I didn't use that part of it because I have a little audio input right on my car stereo, which sounds a thousand times better than an FM transmitter. If you're still stuck with the FM transmitter...
That would be me.
I feel sorry for you because...
You don't.
No, not really. our friend Tad Sheeler... By the way, he's getting married.
No.
Yeah, you didn't know that.
No.
We'll
discuss this offline.
Yeah, Tad's been on the show before. He's been on 3 times now.
Yeah, he's been kind of a regular guest.
Co-host guest.
Oh, yeah.
We drive over to Kalamazoo, Michigan and do the podcast from his residence. We've done it 3 times, and so congratulations, Tad.
Yes, Tad, good man.
iPod gaming, Chad.
Yeah, there's not a lot out there.
You would think.
And most of what's out there is text-based, which you know, I applaud the folks who put out the effort to write the stories and create the scripts to play the text games, but it's so Commodore 64-ish.
Well, you know, here's the thing. How do you play a game with a scroll wheel? I mean, you can't do a first-person shooter with a scroll wheel.
Well, you could do Breakout, and you can do Parachute,
which
come with it. But
but it's just not a device set up for gaming. And I keep reading posts on how, Apple's, you know, courting game developers to write games for the iPod. Anybody ever remember, and this is kind of dating Chad and I, but anybody remember the Intellivision?
Oh, yeah.
It had a little square controller, oblong controller, that you held in your hand, and there was no joystick, but it had a scroll wheel. Sounds familiar?
Oh, yeah.
Do a search for a television controller on Google, an image search, and you'll see it. And it was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
You could not play games with it. The controller was just pathetic. So there was a huge booming market for aftermarket controllers for the Intellivision because everybody hated the Intellivision controllers.
Mm-hmm.
Same kind of deal with the iPod. It's not conducive for gaming. It's just not. Now, the screen is fine for a game to a certain extent. Obviously, not a black and white iPod. We're talking iPod photo / video.
Right.
I don't think the Nano is really good. I think that screen is just a little bit too small for actively playing a game on. But then again, people are playing games on their cell phone, and those screens are even smaller.
True.
I don't know. What do you think? Do you think gaming on the iPod is a big deal, or do you think that this is going to be a device that Apple may want to look into as a totally, sixth or seventh generation iPod with games? But it would have to be a whole different form factor.
Yeah, I think you could probably do it with some of the later iPods, the color iPods. I think it's going to take some creativity on the developer's part to figure out a means of using that click wheel to control whatever sprites are on the screen.
Now, you know, that third generation iPod actually had buttons, you know, on it, mm-hmm. above the click wheel. Now, that would have been pretty cool as a gaming machine. Mm-hmm. I could have seen someone doing something with those buttons, mm-hmm. but it just doesn't exist on the click wheel machines.
Yeah.
Or not machine. Well, it's a machine. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and people are, well, I don't know, is it powerful enough to play games? It's more powerful than an Atari 2600.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, actually, it's quite a powerful little computer. You can run Linux on it.
And it has more memory than, well, your older Macs did.
So. Yeah, I mean, it's a powerful little machine. It's probably more powerful than the Game Boy Advance.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I know it is.
Yeah.
So why can't people develop and create games for the iPod? I just think that the control system on the iPod, it would just suck to play games on that. I mean, yeah, Breakout maybe, but even then, it's kind of squirrely. I've tried it a few times and went, ugh.
But, you know, let's harken back to the days when we used to pump quarters into video game machines. Look at how many different interfaces that those guys came up with.
Yeah, but most of them were still buttons and a joystick.
Or trackball.
A trackball, yeah, but you can't do a trackball with an iPod. Not really.
Not really.
I mean, you can move your thumb around it a little bit, but... Mm-hmm. I just don't think that would be very comfortable. Atari football on the iPod, you know, scrolling. That'd be kind of fun, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think gaming and the iPod make a whole lot of sense.
Well, I think one of the things that the iPod's going to have to develop in the next generation, if they're going to go anywhere with this gaming, is some sort of Bluetooth connectivity so you can communicate with other iPod users.
That would be huge.
And go head-to-head.
That would be huge. If you could wirelessly talk to another iPod user and play a game... That would be a big deal.
Yep.
How would they buy the games for the iPods?
iTunes.
iTunes, exactly. And we've talked about this in the past. This would work for regular computers, too.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't Apple get into selling computer games? I'm not talking about just Mac,
mm-hmm.
but PC games. Why not? It's downloadable content, right?
Well, and the fact is, if you've gotten an Intel iMac,
yeah.
or Mac or an Intel PowerBook...
You can run Windows.
Yeah.
So that opens up PC gaming for those users.
Mm-hmm.
I think Apple's missing a big market right now, and that's the games.
Yeah. So, yeah, maybe next generation iPod will see something that integrates that.
And
maybe,
I think iTunes is definitely...
competes against the PSP.
Well,
I don't think it competes against the PSP.
Well, I would say, yeah, it does. I think that PSP's missed the boat. There hasn't been a game that's been out on the PSP yet that's sold the system. You know, every console, every platform has a certain game that just, when it came out, made people go buy the system so they can play that game. For instance,
or in the case of Microsoft, made it by the company that made it so that they can put it on their platform.
Right, yeah, and obviously you're talking about Halo.
Right.
A lot of people that's listening to this, obviously most of them are Mac users, don't realize that Halo was originally created as a Macintosh game.
By a Macintosh developer, which was Bungie.
Yeah. Myth the Fallen Lords was by Bungie.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic game. Bungie was just masters at creating games.
Mm-hmm.
They were coming out with this game called Halo. Microsoft bought them for the sole purpose of releasing Halo for their next for their new game system, Xbox.
Yep.
And let's be honest, Halo sold the Xbox.
Sure it did.
If Halo wouldn't have been out, not very many people would have been using it. You're looking at your computer slowing down a little bit.
Yeah. Just making sure it's still recording.
Yeah, it's still recording. Grand Theft Auto sold the PlayStation 2.
Mm-hmm.
That was the big game that, when it first came out, I think it was called Grand Theft Auto 3.
Mm-hmm.
That's what sold the PlayStation 2 originally. Everybody went, I have to have this game to play this game. I have to have a PlayStation 2. That's why it sold a lot.
Yep.
GameCube never really had the one game to push it over to the top like that, I don't think.
No, I don't think it did either. I mean, they continued the Mario franchise, threw in some new things, but essentially...
And there's nothing out there for the Xbox 360. Halo 3 hasn't come out yet.
Right.
And it probably won't until next year sometime.
Mm-hmm.
So, it would have to be a great game that's very intuitive, and I agree with you. It would have to have some kind of network connectivity with other iPod users
mm-hmm.
for the iPod to be a huge gaming machine. But does it really need to be?
Mm-mm.
You know, I think it needs to be a telephone eventually.
Yeah.
I'm sick of carrying a cell phone and an iPod. Mm-hmm. I don't carry a game system with me everywhere.
No, I don't either. And we've both got portable game systems.
Yeah. I've got a DS. I've got a PSP. The PSP is really not... I mean, it's a portable game system, yes, but you can't put it in your pocket. It's too big.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to watch movies on it. It's too...
It's too small.
Well, the storage capacity, you have to buy extra storage, so then you can watch movies on it if you download the movies, or...
Well, with the UMD disc, you can buy them, but once again, for $19.99 for a movie on that small a screen, it's...
Or $14.99 for the DVD, and I can watch it on my home entertainment system.
Yeah.
Let me think about it. Plus, there's no way to hook up a PSP to a television.
No.
That would have made it great. I mean, then their whole UMD format would have taken off because you can hook up to your TV and watch it there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Or even play your games on your television. Still hold the PSP in your hand and look at the TV.
Yep.
Didn't happen. So I don't think... as the iPod stands right now, it's not a gaming system, nor will it ever be. If they redesign it with gaming in mind, then we'll see. Once again, if you want to enter our contest, it's contest at mymac.com.
Yep. That is... duh.
Make sure you put Microsoft in the subject line.
Thank
and your
you.
Name, address, and phone number...
In the body.
If you want to send us some feedback, send it to mymacpodcast@gmail.com.
Or give us a call on our Skype number, which is 1-801-938-5559.
We'll be back next week. We'll actually telephone the winner as we record the podcast. That's when you guys find out who won. And we'll be drawing the winner's name. What's today?
Today is the 7th. We'll be drawing the winner's name.
On the 13th. So if you don't get your entries in by midnight... Tuesday, June 13th, you are not eligible. And this is cool stuff, so you definitely want to participate in the contest.
Yep.
If you've won recently, you are still eligible.
Because we don't ever tell anybody no.
One contest entry
unless,
per
of course,
person.
You work for the website. In
that's
which
right.
case, you're out.
Then, yeah, you're out, yeah. Or if you work for Microsoft, because then, you know.
You're out, too.
You work for Microsoft.
Yeah.
You can't participate in a Microsoft giveaway, right?
No.
I don't think so, no.
No.
But if you work for Apple, you can.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you'd like this.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks.
Thanks for downloading the MyMac.com podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast at our RSS feed at MyMac.com or by visiting the iTunes Music Store's podcast section. Please send all feedback to MyMacPodcast@gmail.com. And thanks for listening to the MyMac.com podcast.